Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I'm the Futurist, your crown prince of charisma, Mo, and joined by the best co-host in the business. I say that and I'm lying, but I say it for his ego anyways. He's the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast, the chief defender of the faith. How are you doing, Brett?
Well, I'm okay, you know, alive and well.
Yeah. I hope you don't hear the part where you. I hope you only hear the part where I say how good you are, not the part where I take it back.
Oh, it's. I've never listened to you, anyways.
So, Brett, please introduce today's excellent guest.
All right. Well, I am truly happy to have a very talented singer, guitarist, songwriter. He has performed with Winterville, The Union, Sloper. But the reason that we are here to talk to him is the band Silverthorn. This is Pete Scholder, singer, guitarist for Silverthorn. And they have the wonderful new album, new EP out, Tear the Sky Wide Open. So, Pete, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well, just sat in the house here, not allowed to go out, so yeah, bit weird, but yeah.
Yeah, you're not enjoying that like some of us?
I'm missing the pub, that's the only thing.
Oh, okay, well that I can understand. I can understand that.
Yeah, it's yeah. Hard to bring that to your house, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying my best though. You know.
So I mean, I know this is the question you get asked for every interview, and it's the one you have to answer because it gives the listeners the context. But so we have to do it. How did the band come together?
Okay. Well, basically, it's a bit of a long story, but
we got nothing but time. Nothing but time.
And if you want to throw some lies in to make it different from when you told it other times, you feel free.
Okay.
I'll just
make something up.
And I've already talked to Brian, so you can talk smack about him all you want to.
All right, okay, yeah. We'll do. All right, yeah, so basically a couple of years ago I got asked to audition for Stone Temple Pilots because they were looking for a new singer. So I went over to LA and did an audition and jammed with them, and then I got a call from Dean and Robert DeLeo a few weeks later, and they said, listen, you know, we've, as well as STP, we've got this other project on the go with it's Dean, Robert and Brian Tishy on drums. And we've been looking for a singer for a while, and we think that you'd be perfect for that project. Would you be interested? So they sent me some music, some like instrumentals, and I loved the music and I said, yes, I'm in. So I started writing lyrics and melodies to those songs, to the tracks that they sent me. And then I went back to LA and we wrote and recorded a full record. So that's all kind of all done and dusted and ready to go. And then STP started getting offers, you know, up to, and then they found Jeff, who's their singer now. And, you know, they kind of had to make the decision, they decided to go with STP and put our project on ice for a while, which, you know, we totally understood. I think if it had been us, if the shoe had been on the other foot, you know what I mean, Brian would have made exactly the same decision. So, but we were disappointed, of course. And then I was kind of sort of figuring out what my next move would be. And Brian called me a couple of weeks later and said, why don't you just, you know, what you're up to, why don't you come back to LA, stay with me for a while, and let's just write some songs, you know, just, it'll be fun if nothing else, you know, and I'm sure we can come up with some good songs and just see what happens. So I thought, yeah, why not? So, you know, I got on really well with Brian, and, you know, we clicked as people, and, you know, we were cut from the same cloth musically, and, you know, we seemed to have a lot of the same influences and agreed on a lot of stuff. So, went over and stayed with him for a month, and, you know, he's got like this house which is all set up to record, and, you know, there's the guitars and drums everywhere, and I just stayed there and we just wrote all these songs, wrote like over an album's worth of material, and it was really good, you know, really creative and really inspiring, and then I came home and then we listened to it and talked to each other and we're like, this is really good, isn't it? And we both were like, yeah. You know, it was really exciting, and, you know, so we said, well, let's keep going with this. And then we got Daniel Spree in to play bass, and he's a friend of Brian's. Brian had played with him a few times over the years, so we brought Daniel in, and then that was it. And Silverthorn was a band.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's a great EP. I mean, I know that you guys have been working. It's been done for quite a while, though, I think, hasn't it?
Yes, yeah. We kind of, I'm trying to think when it was. I think it was done in like 2018. I think the majority of it, anyway. And then we sort of we had a bit of trouble getting it off the ground. We had some management that didn't work out, and kind of, there was a lot of time wasted, and then other sort of, and me and Brian had to do other things, and it kind of took a long time to get off the ground. So it's kind of really nice now it is out there and people can hear it. It's and people are liking it, so that's it's great. It's a good feeling.
Yeah,
Yeah, the
because
first lie you should have told should have been you got offered the job to SDP and turned them down because you hate SDP. We love SDP, by the way.
Yeah, me
Yeah.
too.
Okay, Brad, good. Please go ahead. I'm
Well,
just here for comic relief.
yeah,
You have any questions? Yeah.
exactly. Well, Tear the Sky Wide Open, you released that, what was it, back in September of last year?
Yes, I think so,
Yeah, that's right. And then, so then now you've just got Movin' out, and which is a great song. I mean, I love the whole EP. So then, what was the reasoning behind an EP when you do have so much music?
Well, it was the label's advice. We went off the back of their advice. They kind of said, it's at the minute it's more of a singles market, so why don't we just kick the get the band off the ground with, putting an EP out first, as kind of a taster to get people into it, and then follow it up with an album later on. So, we were kind of at that point we because we'd been trying to get it going and get it off the ground, and we'd been having come to a lot of obstacles in our way. We kind of we were just like, yes, all right, fine, an EP, let's just do it. So. And I think, it's good. I mean, like we say, we've had an album's worth of material, but now we've had, which is, I mean, we left some great stuff off the EP. That was quite difficult to choose what to put on the EP. But and now we've already started writing, and we're currently, writing the rest of it, and it's gonna, it's good because I think that the album's gonna be really strong. So, but yeah, so we went for an EP first. So, yeah, and that was it, really.
These same songs on the EP, are any of them going to show up on the album?
No. The album's going to
No?
be all new stuff. Yeah, all
All
different
right.
stuff.
That means I have more. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
We're both a big fan of it.
Oh, great.
Of the EP. I mean, I listened to it, I think, 3 times today alone. So,
Cool.
yeah, really, really good stuff.
And that is one of the benefits of an EP too, is that you can get a chance to give it a few good listens with it. Whereas you
Yeah.
talk about like a 70-minute album or something like that some people do, and it's like you get to the end and you're like, okay, yeah, I can put that one aside for a bit. But
It's easy to digest, isn't it? Yeah,
now that being
especially these
said,
days when,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
especially these days when nobody's got any attention span anymore.
Yeah. But I was
Are
going to
you
say,
talking about me?
Huh? Sorry. Who are you again? But
Yeah, sorry, what were we talking about?
Yeah, what? Who are we interviewing?
Oh my Lord, this is an interview?
Exactly.
But no, I mean,
Well, he could
I
tell
thought
you
that was
more
ordered
of
a
the French.
pizza.
Yeah. Oh, I want pizza. Anyways.
It is
Brett,
made
please go
easier.
on.
Yeah, it is made easier by the fact that the songs are so good. Now, when you were writing them, were you looking to get, say, a little bit heavier than your work with the Union?
Yes, definitely. I was kind of, I wanted this to be in Brian as well. You wanted it to be, a rock songs, and heavy, because I've been with the Union. We had sort of elements of that, but the Union was quite bluesy in places, and it also had quite a few. It was quite acoustic and almost kind of country-esque, in some places. So, and then after that, I did like a solo record, which was bit mainly acoustic based, so I was kind of ready to make a noise again,
Well, and then I guess also when it comes to songwriting, like, well, and even working with the guys from Stone Temple Pilots, I mean, I suppose that that's kind of the music that you would have recorded with them, right?
What do you mean?
Like
What,
a little bit heavier, a little bit like closer to SDP,
yes.
maybe?
Yeah. It's although that record does have some little twists and turns, acoustic songs and things as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a rock record, you know.
Now, when it comes to singing and playing guitar, I mean, in this case, you're doing both as the power trio. Do you have a preference of like, do you like to be able to do both?
Well, it's all I've ever done, really. I feel a bit weird just doing one of those things, you know. I feel a bit strange, you know, like just standing there playing guitar. It feels odd because I'm used to singing, and then standing without a guitar, I feel like I'm completely naked or something, you know. So it's it's just something I've always done, so it kind of just feels natural to me.
So then let's talk about your voice for a bit. Like, I mean, it's fantastic on here. So how would you say that your voice has evolved over the years between from Winterville to now?
I think my range is gone up. Is like, you know, I've got a much bigger range now than I had when I was younger. I mean, I pretty much, you know, I can do a lot more with it now than I could do back in Winterville. I think I was quite limited back then. And it's so, yeah, and you know, I'm always trying to push forward, and I'm always trying to get better at it. So, you know, and I love listening to great singers, and I try and, you know, the singers that can do, that aren't sort of one dimensional, you know, who can do loads of different things. I kind of admire that. So that's something I've always tried to do as well. So I'm always working at it. But yeah, so I think, you know, I'm more confident now in singing, because singing was a bit. I wasn't at first. I was a guitar, but like I kind of at first, I thought myself as a guitar player mainly. But I sang as well. But I didn't really have much confidence in my voice, and you know. But I always enjoyed singing, and then I kind of started taking it more seriously when I was about 15, 16, and kind of worked at it. And but yeah, so it's. I mean, I think I still sound the same. I think, you know, I think you still tell it to me when you listen to the old stuff. But I think I can just do more with it now.
Did you ever take singing lessons, anything like that?
Well, I went to a singing teacher once, who said I was about 21, and he said, like, you know, there's more to your voice than you actually use, and it's almost like you're too scared. As soon as you get to like a higher note, you're sort of strangling it, and it's almost like you're scared that you're gonna ruin your voice. And I was like, he says, but there's a whole other range there that you're not using. So that kind of That inspired, I went away, and I didn't actually see him ever again. But like, that inspired me to kind of keep pushing. And then when I was in the union, I went for another lesson, and the guy was like, "Oh, there's not really much I can help you with, really. You know, you're getting there on your own. You're sort of there already." So, yeah. So that was it, really.
It's insane to me that you're just you sing like this and you didn't have the confidence in your voice the whole time, because I mean honestly you're it's one hell of a voice. It's so it
Thanks.
does have a lot of range and a lot of power, but also you have the innate ability to convey the emotion necessary for that particular emotion that needed for that song. And that's not
Right.
something every but that's more than just singing. That's more than just range. That's just a I don't know, something else, some other kind of gift.
Well, thank you. But I mean, I think that's the most important thing about singing for me, anyway. For, you know, when for my favorite singers, don't, you know, necessarily have big ranges or anything like that. It's the emotion that they convey and put across in the song. That's my, you know, those are my favorite singers, you know. So like, that people can, you know, put that across. It's not about how many, you know, octaves they have, and how many, you know, how fast they can, you know, go around riffs and sing like Mariah Carey or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, like Bob Dylan didn't really have a huge range, but he's one of my favorite singers, you know.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the songwriting then and the process. Like, I mean, I know you got together with Brian, of course, and wrote the songs. Now lyrically, let's talk about the content. Like, where does that come? Like, at what point in the process do you write the lyrics?
The lyrics came last. With these songs, it was always, you know, we'd make sure we nailed the music first, and then I would kind of sit with my headphones and go away for a while and just kind of work on the lyrics. So that they were always last.
I'm interested in that in the process when you're writing a lyric and then you're kind of making it work to the music. Like, is that just always the way that you've worked? Is that kind of an aspect to that's just the way it is?
Yeah, man. Like, to be honest, that is kind of the way I do it. I mean, I do it a lot of different ways. You know, there's times when I'll write a song from scratch with just the lyrical theme in mind. After, right, I want to write a song about this, and then I'll kind of build the song around the lyric. Or sometimes I'll have music and I'll think, right, I want to make this song about this. So, but with these songs, I did it in a way which I do pretty much, I do it all the time, really, where I sort of let the music guide me, really, and sort of I sit there and listen to it, and if hopefully the music kind of conjures up some images in my mind, and I just kind of write the images down. And a lot of the time it's just like, you know, I'll be writing these things down and with no idea of a theme or, you know, what it's about, and then I'll keep doing it, and the more you get down, a theme kind of reveals itself after a while, and I go, ah, okay, this is what the song's about, and then I'll kind of finish it with that in mind. So I kind of let the music kind of suggest it, if you know what I mean.
What about working and writing, co-writing with somebody as opposed to doing it by yourself? What are the advantages and disadvantages of each for you?
Well, it depends who you're working with, really. You know, sometimes if you find the right person, like I think Brian is with me and Brian are together. I think we make each other's stuff better than it is originally. But then you can work with other people that kind of not do the opposite, but can maybe round the edges off a little bit of it. So it's not as it loses something. It's who you work with, I think. And I mean, you know, with me and Brian, it's kind of, you know, we sit there and just get really excited about the music and, you know, make sure the music's right. And then I'll go away and work on the lyrics and, you know, I'll bounce it off him. I'll say, what do you think of this? And, you know, he'll say, well, you know, I love it, but I think that phrase needs to be better, you know, and I'll go away and kind of, so yeah, it's who you work with, really. I mean, I like writing songs on my own. I do, as well. You know, I do that a lot, but yeah, it's who you're working with, you know, it's the chemistry.
Can we kind of go through the songs? Brett, did you have another question?
Or? Nope. Go ahead.
I don't know. If we can kind of go through the songs and kind of get the story behind each, then, if you wouldn't mind, starting with the title track and the name of the album, and honestly, one of the best title tracks or tracks titles and album titles I can think of in recent memory, "Tear the Sky Wide Open."
Yeah.
How did that song come together?
Well, yeah, we were just sat at Brian's one day, and I think we were working on another idea, another song, and it just wasn't getting anywhere, really. But I think we were both sort of thinking, you know, sometimes it feels like you're banging your head against a brick wall, and it's like, you know, maybe it's not working. And Brian said, I tell you what, should we just write a completely new, different song? I was like, okay. And so then we sort of started thinking about what ideas we had, and I remembered this riff that I'd written a couple of years previously, the main riff of the song, and I'd never used it in a song before. I tried to write it in a song a few years before, but didn't really finish it or anything, but I always liked the riff. So I played the riff to Brian, and it straight away was like, oh, I like that, that's good. And then he was like, I tell you what, why don't you tune it down a little bit lower, so it sounds a bit more, you know, it's a bit heavier sounding. So we did that, and we threw it around and sort of, well, what do we do now, we've got this riff, and we tried a few different things, and that took the longest to write, that to, like, to get the music together. I think we spent like 3 days on that, I think, to get it right, because we were like, oh, maybe this needs to change, and this, you know, so we kind of, it took a little bit of a while, but it was worth it. And yeah, we just, like, it just, everything worked with that song, you know, once it was done, you know, the sound of the drums, Brian's drums just sound huge on it, and, you know, complements the guitar riff, and and then lyrically, that was, you know, similar thing. I kind of, you know, what was the music suggesting to me, and sort of started writing things down, and I got quite far into the lyric, And Brian came and he said, "Oh, what have you got?" And I says, "Well, I've got this, but I have no idea what it's about." And it's like, all right. And then I sort of tweaked it a little bit. And then I thought, hang on a minute. Could this sounds like something like, it's like the voice of something that wants to do your heart. And I was like, I can't remember if it was me or it was Brian. He's like, "Well, that sounds like the voice of a drug or something, you know, talking to somebody, you know, it'll destroy it, you know." And I was like, "Ah, actually, yeah." I remember Brian saying, "Well, that's kind of what it sounds like to me." So I finished it with that in mind. So that was that.
So the second song is called "Roll Me Back Again," and that's the one that for me is the earworm song. That's the one that I kept finding myself singing. Only the second time I knew it, I was already singing the words to it, and found myself singing afterwards and that type
really
of thing. Yeah.
That was an interesting one, because that was, we actually wrote that in two different countries. We wrote that over FaceTime, because I'd come back to England, and you know, I wasn't going to head over there for a few months. So we were like, "Well, why don't we get together and see if we can just come up with something over FaceTime?" So we both sat there with an acoustic guitar, and that main riff I'd had for a year or so. And then Brian said, "Oh, well, I've got this riff, that'll go with that." And so we sat for an hour and kind of came up with an arrangement. And then he said, "Right, I'll send you a drum track in a couple of hours." So he went into his studio and recorded the drums for it, and then emailed it over to me. And then I put the guitars on. And I wrote the lyrics over here at home and kind of put a scratch vocal on it. And then when I went back out there, I recorded the vocal at his. And yeah, and that was it. So that's interesting. We kind of, that was the only one that we did when we went in the same room together.
Yeah, no, it's just I don't know what it is. It's just so it's catchy, in a good way, you know. Black River Rising, the third track, is another one of those titles. This, like, much like Tear the Sky Wide Open, like Black River Rising, like, it just, the title immediately grabs you and puts an image in your head.
Cool. Great, yeah. I mean, that's another one that kind of, just like an image that kind of, was conjured up with that music. That's our favorite song, I think, out of all of them. You know, it was really fun to put together. It was just, you know, it just creates a whole atmosphere. You know, with when that riff starts, and it was Brian had the riff, and he said, "You know, what if we do this kind of like a stoner sort of, you know, trippy Sabbath kind of thing?" And I was like, right. So we had this riff, and so we were just playing for about half an hour together with just acoustic guitars. We were playing this riff, and it was like, "Oh yeah, this is really good." But then we're going, "Well, where do we go from here?" So like, we were trying to come up with a chorus and like middle eights and bridges and like, you know, take all these different chords and things, and then just nothing was exciting us. And then we would start playing the riff again, and it'd be like, "Oh, this is really good. It's got a groove." So then we were like, "Well, does it need any more chords? Does it need because the riff goes over, it just cycles over two chords, the whole, that riff. So it's like, "Well, why don't we just play two chords the whole song?" And we were like, "Can we do that?" And I remember saying, "Well, I've always been too scared to do that, to write a song with two chords. So maybe that's reason enough to do it."
Yeah.
So let's just make it all about the dynamics and, like, you know, lift, you know, build it up here and then bring it down again. Just keep it on this, you know, keep it over the same two chords. And then it was all, yeah, so it was all about the dynamics and the guitar parts and the lyrics, really. And, you know, the range of where I'm singing, you know, I sing quite low in the verses and then, you know, high in the chorus. And yeah, and just try to take you on a bit of a journey.
That's really interesting, because it's a fantastic song for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Moving, if the fourth song, that's got a nice, it's got a little bit of a funky groove to it itself, you know, and I really like that.
I love Moving. Yeah. I love it. That's the one for me that I constantly sing, you know. It's
really, right. Well, that was the first song we wrote together, that for the whole project. That was the whole band. That was the first song we wrote together, which is weird, because it doesn't sound like anything else we've written, you know. It's like, it's a really weird song, you know.
But yeah, I think it's got that funk element to it. I think that's what makes it stick out and puts it in your head.
Yeah. Well, that was like, I had this riff, which was like a Jimi Hendrix Band of Gypsies sort of thing. Like, it was sort of which is the main riff of the song, but I played it completely different on you know, it was like I said, it was more like a Hendrix-y funky kind of thing. And Brian was like, oh, I really like that riff, but what if instead of playing the drums like, you know, a band of gypsies all funky, what if the drums were just really straight, it was an ELO record. He kept saying, "Don't bring me down." That was what he was going, you know, if it's just straight like that. And I was like, right, okay. And at first I was a little bit, I'm not really sure about that. So, he laid the drum track down, and it was like, oh, well, I mean, the drums on that sound so huge. It's great. And then Brian was like, well, why don't you, instead of playing the riff like Hendrix, play it a bit weird, you know? So we put an octave pedal on it and put it, you know, and I played it completely different. And then all of a sudden, and then I put the guitar down, and all of a sudden it was just like this weird kind of thing that I'd never heard. You know, it's like, this just sounds really unique, this, you know, this is.
Yeah.
So, and then we kind of thought, well, it's a pop song, really. You know, I started singing the chorus, and then, you know, and it was really kind of catchy and hooky and poppy. And then we tried to make the verses so it's kind of a bit more like, you know, it's tongue in cheek, really, in the lyrics and that. And that was actually Brian's idea, that the lyric on that one. He's like, you know, what about if it's about a psycho girlfriend? And, you know, it's just tongue in cheek, almost Steven Tyler esque, you know, just. So, yeah, it's great. I love that song.
Well, it's a good song to have in there because it is a little kiss of fun for the EP.
Yeah, and it's a bit light, yeah, because everything else is quite dark, really.
Yeah.
And the last song, Haunted by the Dream, felt like...
Dawn.
Oh, sorry, what did I say? Dream? My mistake.
Yeah.
Haunted by the Dawn.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
A few people have said that. I'm starting to wonder whether it's there's a typo on the CD.
No, it's just you're supposed to write a song like that for the next album, that's all.
Yeah.
Haunted by the Dream. No, Haunted by the Dawn is, it feels like the perfect way to wrap up the album in a lot of ways. And I actually, when I listened to that one, I commented to Brett afterwards that, and I mean this as the highest compliment, so I hope you take it that way, because I think this is something that's needed. I think that we found the spiritual successor to Soundgarden, and that's right. A voice that I think is needed out there, and that's what that song did to me.
All right. Oh, cool. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a compliment. I mean, you know, one of the best rock bands ever. So yeah, that's great. But yeah, it's that song, that was one of Brian's riffs that he had for. I think he wrote that when he was in college. I think,
wow.
And he's like, I've got this kind of riff, and it's quite Achilles' Last Stand. You know, it's I think it's really cool. And he played the riff, and I thought, oh, that's great. You know, and it's got that gallop and bass and drum pattern. And that song started off, it was 12 minutes long.
Oh my
yeah,
goodness.
Yeah. And that had like, it had an intro with like chanting monks at first, and then that went on for about 3 minutes, and then the band kicked in, and then there was like a weird middle eight and a bridge and two different choruses and saxophone solo. I don't know, only joking. But like, it was like a long song. So we kind of cut it down and, like, you know, cut the fat off it, and it's like five minutes song now. So but yeah, that's another one we want to be like, you know, take you on a journey, you know, kind of it goes in a few different places, and again, it's all about dynamics. And yeah, and that was lyrically, that was when it was when Trump was having his Twitter spat with North Korea. I was going, oh my God, it's just, you know, it's going to be nuclear war here. And that's kind of what, so that's what the lyrics are about.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was feeling a little bit, a bit nervous.
I know what you mean.
Understandable.
Don't worry, he offered to help them with the COVID virus. So.
Yeah, oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Very early in your career, you kind of were lucky enough to kind of quickly get a chance to meet and hang around with and tour with some legendary figures in the rock music industry. Did you spend a lot of time kind of picking their brain as much as you could?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you try to learn from, you know, anybody, you know, who's been in the industry for a while, and, you know, who's had success, or, you know, people whose music that you admire, you know. And yeah, I got into it quite young, so I was, you know, quite wide-eyed and you know, eager to learn as much as I could, you know.
Who gave you kind of the most interesting advice, or the advice that's, I don't know, maybe stuck with you the most, either on how you behave, or maybe a songwriting, or just some advice that you took to heart?
That's a difficult one. I don't know.
We can skip it and go on to something else.
let me think about that one. I'll come back.
Think about it next time you come on, because you're going to come on again. You'll answer it then. If it's that hard. Give me a few weeks.
Everything I'm thinking of is just like nothing to do with music.
It's nothing to do with music, really. That's actually interesting, though. I think that a lot of people would be surprised to hear that. That's interesting. It is other things.
I don't know if I can say many of them, though.
They're all R-rated.
It's a podcast. You can say whatever you want.
I'll have a think about that one. Let me come back to you on that one.
All right, no problem. No,
I think it's mainly, I did a lot of songwriting with a lot of different people. I signed quite young to Sony when I was, I think it was like 18, and they sort of sent me in America, and they sent me around America songwriting with a lot of people. And some people were really inspiring, some people weren't so inspiring, but I learned a lot from that, because they put me with a lot of pop writers, which was kind of strange. And I spent like a year kind of writing songs which were completely, I would never want to sing or play, I'd meet somebody like Scott Gorham from Thin Lizzy, who would sort of tell me, you need to just, stick to, write what you like, and what it inspires and excites you, because, you're not going to do anything that means that much to people if it doesn't mean that much to you. You can't move anybody if it doesn't move yourself. So that was, and that was kind of what I was, it sort of validated in my head, because that's what I felt anyway. But when you're young and you've got record label people and management saying, this is good, because they kind of wanted to push me in more of a pop direction, and it was like, that's not me, so
that's exactly the type of advice that I think that as a 18-year-old you need to hear from somebody.
Definitely.
Now, is it difficult to live in a totally different country than the rest of the band?
Well, not really, because I can go over there and we decide how long we're gonna, if intense kind of work time, and we sort of just do nothing but that, really. These days, I said these days, we're not even allowed outside the front door now. Never mind a different country. So,
what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah, but it's it's not really an issue, to be honest. There's quite a lot of bands that do the same now.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who are kind of in a similar boat. So no, it's good.
Now then, you're also involved with Sloper and stuff like that, and so do you find it important to be able to have multiple bands that you can kind of be a part of, especially these days?
These days it's kind of, I think everybody's got their fingers in a few different pies to kind of try and make a living, but it's apart from that, it's important to me, because I love rock music, and I love different kinds of music. And so, the more projects which I can be in, which kind of inspire me is great for me, because I think, the more you do, the more you learn, and, the feed into the other projects that you're doing. And it's fun, and that's, you want to enjoy it as well. So, I love being in Sloper as well, so.
Do you, from your time in the industry, do you notice a difference in the audience and the acceptance of rock music in Europe compared to North America, America and that type of thing?
I don't, to be honest, because I haven't really, in America, I haven't done that much touring in the sort of, I've done gigs and stuff over there, of course, but I've never sort of toured over there like I have over here. I don't know, it's weird. People still love rock music. You just need to look at the big bands and all the people who go, you know, Metallica, AC/DC, Foo Fighters, you know, there's millions of people who love rock music, you know, still. But I think it's just, it's hard for new bands to come through now, you know, the support isn't there almost for them. So it's like new bands don't have the opportunity or the chance to kind of become as big as those bands, if you know what I mean. Like, so it's like, I don't know what it's going to be, you know, when these sort of older bands and big bands start dying off or retiring. I don't know, you know, who's going to be headlining Download Festival or you know what I mean? The big rock festivals. It's kind of, it's a bit scary really. Cause I don't know. I don't think there's much financial support in the industry for new bands.
No, I know. I know exactly what you mean. How then, how much do you kind of take a look at the ways to reach the audience then, and the new ways to reach it through streaming services and social media and that type of thing?
Yeah, well, I think it's all good. I mean, the streaming maybe not. I think streaming's a great idea, but I think the financial aspect of it and the deal that the artists, you know, get out of it is criminal. You know, I think the amount of money that people like Spotify are making, and you know, the artists are getting nothing. You know, that's just, it's insane. You know, it's criminal. But I think the model is great. You know, I mean, I think, you know, if the artist got paid fairly for it, I think it's, you know, it would be, it's brilliant, you know. But they're not at the moment, so you know, we need somebody to sort of fight that fight, I think.
Yeah, there has to be a way to change that. We hear that all the time. It's crazy. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I read that like the music industry is now making more money than it ever did in the sort of heyday of CDs, and that's, it's crazy, you know.
Yeah,
because all the artists are starving. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're the people who should be getting the lion's share.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's insane.
It is. It's crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, so apart from that, I think it's good. You know, if we can get a fair deal from it, it's even better. And, you know, Facebook and things are great to kind of, you know, you've got instant access to your fan base, you know, and you can just, you know, that's great as well. We're just finding new ways of kind of, you know, getting content out to them and try and keep it fresh and entertaining, you know.
I actually think that things like an EP are probably kind of the wave of the future. Shorter, you know, just more music more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I quite like, I can't remember the name of the band or the artist now, but where they were doing, you know, they released like three EPs a year or three or four EPs a year, which is great. Yeah. I think Noel Gallagher does that, actually. I think he might be doing that, you know, sort of. Yeah, I think it might have been him. But I've heard a few other people doing it. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, he's got the flying, I forget the name of the band. But yes, yeah. They just released another one, actually.
Yeah. Brett, book him on the show.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, see what he thinks about it.
I'll get on that. There's so much going on, especially when you talk about music and, like, you talk about, like, the ability to do these interviews and that kind of thing. And and so, but without the ability to tour, it must be really difficult for you guys. I mean, you must really feel the need to kind of, like, want the desire to be out of the house.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary now. I mean, you know, we've sort of, with Silverthorn, we've had to put, you know, we're working on some tour dates, which we've now had to kind of cancel because of this. Which is a real shame. And then, you know, my gigs with Sloper this year, they're already, you know, they're getting cancelled now. So it's scary, you know, and it's like, oh my God. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether we just, well, nobody knows, do they, you know, whether it's just like we're hitting the pause button and then next year or towards the end of the year, it'll get back to normal, or is life going to be different? Who knows, you know? So, but it's scary, you know, and it's a shame because, you know, we want to get out there and play.
The album cover, is that, it's just kind of a beautiful nature shot. Is it taken somewhere near the studio where you recorded?
Yeah, that's right. Just next to where we record. You know, the studio is just like, it's right in the middle of the Santa Clarita Canyons, and it's amazing. You know, it's like spectacular scenery. And it's, if you look at that, well, that's it really. That's a picture that Brian took when he was out mountain biking, And and then if you look on YouTube on our the videos that we've done, particularly Tear the Sky Wide Open, that's just, you know, that's the landscape, that's the scenery, it's all, you know, in the canyon. So there's nothing there. There's no distractions or anything. So it's a great place to make music.
Oh, it seems so incredibly peaceful just from that picture. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and then you get to the music and bram.
Yeah.
Tear your
exactly
sky wide open.
Lose you in a false sense of security.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh no, this is gonna be nice. It's gonna be some you know,
yeah,
music or something, and then
yeah. Rip your face off.
Which is great. You know what? You should be ripping faces off every day, musically. I mean, that's how it is. That's how we interviewed Ross the Boss, and that's it. He described himself. He said he's been ripping music, people's faces off since the 1970s. And we thought, that's great.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Well, I think we should wrap it up here by giving you a chance to promote the album. You know, where people can find it, where they can keep up with whatever changes do happen with Silverthorn. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're just going to get out an acoustic guitar and sing those songs in front of everybody because that's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to be going on, and where should they be, you know, trying to keep up with you?
Yeah, just, you know, same places, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, we're on there, so we can keep up to date with what we're doing there. You can buy the EP from the usual places, Amazon and Apple Music, or all that sort of stuff, iTunes.
Hi, don't stream it.
Sorry?
Hi, don't stream it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta eat.
So, yeah, and then...
especially right now.
Stream it as well. Yeah. it's on Spotify, but, you know, it's on there as well. So, yeah, and just, yeah, Facebook... So just keep up to date with us there. And in the meantime, while we're, you know, doing this, I think at the moment me and Brian are going to be doing some more songwriting over FaceTime, I think, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but we're working on the first album now. And that's, you know, that should be finished, you know, it'll be finished this year, hopefully, if, you know, God willing.
Yeah,
no, well, hopefully we'll get both of you back on at the same time then. So
yeah,
thank
yeah,
you so good. Much. We really, you know, this has been awesome.
Oh, brilliant. No, thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. I love the band. Look forward to hearing the album. And I think that everybody should go and listen to Tear the Sky Wide Open, because besides the fact that it's awesome, hey, what else do you have to do? But
yeah, besides, yeah, exactly. Everybody has the time right now.
Yeah.
Go.
crank
you
it
know
up.
What? And yeah, well,
no excuse.
Both of you on there. If you can carry Brian and the band, you can certainly carry him on a podcast.
Awesome. Feet shoulder. The band is Silverthorn. All the best. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. All the best, lads. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.